Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This week's episode of Do Go On is brought to you by the fact we are doing a show in Sydney, not this Saturday, but the Saturday after, Saturday, September the 21st at Giant Dwarf Theatre in Redfern. Tickets are on sale right now at dogoonpod.com. You can also come to our show in Perth, Sunday, November 3rd at the Comedy Lounge. Yeah, be
this,
there.
This show is also brought to you by Razzle Dazzle, Jess and Matt's show at the Melbourne Fringe starting tomorrow night. Go for 8 nights.
We're in, we're out, we're bing, we're bang, bada bing, bada boom. Now on with the show.
I used to work in sales, I think it's pretty clear.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnke and I'm sitting here with Matt Stewart, Jess Perkins and myself.
Oh, you're sitting here with yourself.
You're sitting with yourself.
Started a list and I stopped. I should have stopped after two.
Yeah. And you know the comedy rule of three.
That's right.
And it was hilarious.
I follow every rule except that things should be funny.
Can I quickly just say something from the heart?
No.
Okay.
Matt, leave being vulnerable and authentic to me.
Okay, that is your thing. But this is about you. I wanted to welcome you into the 200 Club.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you.
200 great episodes.
That's just from my heart to you.
Thank you. To my heart as well?
Yeah, heart to heart.
Aww.
Two strong hearts beating together like honey and the bee.
You and me.
Now, I don't want to interrupt this beautiful, what was going on there, whatever that was.
John Farnham. That was John Farnham. How dare you?
Whatever that was. Zoned out for a second.
Of course it did.
But I'm zoning back in to bring some good news to the podcast.
Yes. I love good news.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm not sitting here with just Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins anymore. I'm now sitting here with Baron Von Matt Stewart and Count Jess Perkins of Sealand.
Yes!
I am here to tell you and the good people that listen to this show that last month I entered a competition called the Search for Australia's Gourmet Pie Guy, run by a bakery chain here called Brumbies. And basically, you had to tell them why you should be voted the Gourmet Pie Guy, put a photo up, and then people vote for you. And this whole month, I've been doing quite well. A lot of people voted for me. Appreciate that so much. But I was always third.
Yes.
Could never reel in two other gentlemen that had thousands and thousands of more votes than I did.
Which is crazy. They didn't even have podcasts.
No, they...
literally, didn't make any sense.
How do you... You don't know that many people.
Yeah, the person who had the most votes was 16,000.
You don't know that many people.
No.
If you had that many Facebook friends...
He ran a good campaign.
Yes. Yeah, well, okay. Did he?
He was on the hustings.
Because I got a call on Friday from Brumbies themselves telling me that I have won the competition.
Yes!
Thank you so much.
You're the pie guy.
Thank you. They spent a week with their IT department taking away any what they classified as fraudulent votes. They didn't say what that meant.
Right.
But they said after the fraudulent votes were taken away, I had the most votes.
A lot of those were cast in Florida.
Is that a US politics joke that you don't quite get?
Well, I got it.
Did you? Can you explain it then? Because I didn't.
When Bush won the second election...
Mm-hmm.
There were anomalies in Florida, and people wanted there to be
a recount.
They wanted them to go through those votes, but there was a bit of political, the sort of like courtroom mumbo jumbo,
right? Mm-hmm. Malarkey,
which I am assuming will happen to me.
This all happened a while ago. I'm going off pretty vague memories and an old
Bush.
Brain.
Was that a while ago? Was it
George?
Yeah,
Bush senior.
You remember? Everyone remembers their kindergarten president.
But Dave, you won.
It was honestly the most surprising phone call of my entire life. So,
what about the time you won that Taco Bell?
Taco Bell. When I won the trip to Mexico. Yeah, that was also a
cool. You've lived a blessed life.
No, he just enters the competitions. You've got to be in them to win them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One of my friends is like that too. You've got
to enter your silver spoon into your mouth to win it.
Yeah.
One of my friends like that too. She wins so much stuff because she enters like every competition.
Is she one of those friends where you wouldn't swap lives with them?
I mean, she's my friend's sister, to
she's
be fair.
She's sitting there cutting out coupons all day.
Yeah.
Get a friend.
Get a life.
Look at your sister. She's got friends.
Me.
Yeah.
And I'm cool.
Yeah.
Dave, you are cool.
Think about it.
Am I cool?
Get some friends.
I'd rather have the prizes. The sweet, sweet prizes.
The prizes will be my friends.
Thanks to everyone that voted me genuinely. I am surprised by it. Thank you so much. Appreciate your support, Jess and Matt. I will be getting you those titles from Sealand. If you have no idea what we're talking about, listen to the Sealand episode. One of my favorite episodes we've had for a long time. I love that episode. And also, I feel I'm a bit surprised by winning. So I've won $10,000. I will be donating some money to charity. So
whoa.
Feel a bit
a
guilty.
A pie charity?
No, I've decided to donate some money to the Fred Hollows Foundation.
Oh, the eye charity.
Fantastic. That's right. Restoring eyesight around the world. And also Medicine Sans Frontières, which is MSF, Doctors Without Borders is the English name for that one. Yeah, so.
And would you be donating to your friends and colleagues?
Yes, I'll be donating two titles and two pies.
Hmm.
Great. I can't wait. I think I'm going to go on apple pie in Gary, Indiana. Can you send me there? I want flights.
Accommodation.
Pies.
Yeah, absolutely.
And unlimited pies. Is it just a cash prize or do you get like pies for a year?
No, sadly it is just.
So what's
the
it
cash.
Got to do with pies?
Well, it's. I assume they think I'll spend the cash on pies, which honestly a lot of it will be spent on pies. No, my pledge was that I would fly to Africa to eat a pie there because it's my dream.
Where are you going
to
find a pie?
Well, it's my dream to eat a pie on every continent.
A tiger in Africa?
Something a bit like that.
I'm going to start. You know how you guys get a Simpsons reference in every episode? I'm going to start getting Monty Python references. No, I can't be bothered doing that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That was my first one.
And a pretty good source because they have so many situations. So you can probably,
exactly.
Like the Simpsons, they've covered so much ground.
Exactly.
I reckon you could do it.
All right.
All right. Well, that's my pie-related news. Anyone else have any pie-related news?
No.
No pie-related news.
Oh, I just made a shepherd's pie just before this.
What?
Yeah.
And Pie in the Sky reruns are happening on UK TV. So
there you go.
Check
we did have pie news.
I'm assuming UK TV is a real channel, and that those reruns will be happening.
Yes.
All righty then,
Dave.
Shall.
Let's start the bloody show.
Mm. Let's start the pod now, Jess. If people haven't heard the show before, what are we about to do?
What we're about to do is what we do every week and have done for 4-ish years. And that is, we take turns reporting on a topic usually suggested by a listener, and we present it to you and to the other two, who are, in this case, Matt and Jess. And Dave is going to do a report, and he's going to get us onto the topic with a question.
All right, guys, question
time. I think I nailed
time.
That.
That was really good.
First thing. Can we just chop that out and put it in all episodes?
Yeah, copy and paste. Yeah. Fantastic. All right, question for you. Clap, clap. Oh, it's not a clapper. Anyway. I looked at the light.
Why do you want it to turn off?
Well, because it's a spooky... No, it's not a spooky topic.
Potting but after dark.
Here we go. Before the atomic bombs were dropped in World War II, what was the largest man-made explosion in history? Oh, dear.
Wow.
Have you seen this one pop up in the hat at all?
No. So,
well, I don't know what it is yet, so I don't know how to answer
that.
It's hard for me to know.
It's the something explosion.
Okay, the pants explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Was it pants explosion?
Yeah.
Euphoria in my pants explosion.
Catchy.
No, I there's something explosion. Yeah, John Spencer Blues explosion.
Can you start to say it slowly and I'll figure it out?
Okay, here we go, here we go.
Okay.
The
explosion. FBI.
I got it.
I'm afraid the first person to say it in its entirety was Matt. He
said
the
hell. Fuck off!
You know why I said that? Because I knew if I'd gone with you, Matt couldn't give a shit. But I went with Matt because I was getting a reaction out of you.
Well played.
Fuck you.
Today I'm going to tell you about the Halifax explosion. Now I've said it. Have you heard of that or seen it in the hat at all?
No.
It's been suggested by a few people.
All I know is...
Here we go.
This is so irrelevant. One time when we were out on roadshow driving incredibly long distances in Western Australia, we were playing a game where I had to try and guess everyone's middle name. There's four people in the car, myself included, already knew that one, sorry to brag.
Okay.
And so I had to guess everyone else's middle names. And I eventually, after a very long time, found out that Guy Montgomery's middle names, he's Guy Alexander Halifax Montgomery.
Really? Did you get Halifax or did he have to tell you?
No, I got Alexander, but
That's
then
a fancy man.
He's a fancy man.
He's a fancy man.
Halifax.
Yeah, then he gave me a few clues and we got to Halifax.
There was a crime show in Australia called Halifax PI or Halifax something with the mum from Pack to the Rafters, maybe in the 90s.
Yeah.
I can't quite think of what it was, but it was Halifax something. What does Halifax mean? It's just a name.
As far as I'm aware, I didn't look into the etymology
of it. I think it's also a place.
Yeah. Whoa. Sorry. Halifax is the place where this happened, and that is in Canada. This is a Canadian topic.
Canada.
Which we will get to in a second. But first of all, a shout out to the people that suggested this, including Kayla M. Hodkowitz from Toms River, New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Eric Wire from Ontario, Canada. Bryson Sullivan from Urbana, Illinois, the USA. Nate Price, also from Illinois, this time St. Joseph. Fraser Green from New Glasgow in Canada. And finally, Kelly Murray, who is from Halifax itself.
There you go. Ooh.
Suggested by a local.
There's a few suggestions.
Yeah, thanks to all those people. Appreciate that. And if you want to suggest a topic, you can do that at any time on our website, dogoonpod.com, and you click suggest a topic.
This is that interesting point of the episode where we don't know if this is a horrific tragedy or not.
Yeah. Is it?
Let's all guess.
I'm going to say no, just based on Dave's temperament tonight.
I'm going to say yes, just for a point of difference.
Well, your point of difference gets you the point.
Yay!
It's a horrible one.
It's awful!
I said a horrific. Is that, would you say an horrific?
I think
I would say a hotel, not an hotel.
Yeah,
interesting. It's tough.
I think H-O.
Feels like one of those ones where either should be fine.
Yeah.
Stop jumping down.
And horrific sounds a bit weird.
No, sorry about that, Matt. Sorry. I hate to get pedantic. All right, so the Halifax explosion. Yes, it is the largest man-made explosion until the atomic bombs were dropped in World War II. And it's a big one.
Yeah, well, they were big.
They were very, very big. So let's do this. Halifax, for those that don't know, was located on the very far east of Canada and is the provincial capital of Nova Scotia.
And east is right.
If you're looking at a map.
Nova Scotia, of course, meaning New Scotia.
Yes. My goodness, I didn't realize we had a linguistics professor here.
Yeah, I am.
And a geography professor. Thank you. I'm here.
Baroness von Linguistenstein is my new name.
Middle name, an hotel. it's a port city based around one of the deepest harbors in the world. And it has a strong maritime history. In the 18th century, Nova Scotia was one of the British Empire's most important and powerful naval bases in all of North America. But then, in the late 18th century, the city took a real economic hit when its factories were superseded by those in central Canada. The British Navy left in 1905, and the population dwindled for a time. But Halifax was put back on the map after World War I broke out.
Yay!
Yeah. Finally, a reason for us to exist again.
War!
Canada quickly invested in Halifax, developing its harbour and waterfront, and built a new military hospital. It became quite strategic for the Allies, being the closest major port to Europe, and many ships stopped there or dropped wounded soldiers off to recover before getting supplies and heading back to the European theatres of war. And because of this, the economy and the population of Halifax greatly increased, as it became one of the busiest ports in all of North America during this time. I had no idea about any of this. Probably couldn't have pointed Halifax on a map, but now I can.
Yeah, furthest east.
Just to the right.
Yeah, just to the right.
If you look at Canada, you look to the right of the middle, and it'll be around there, I reckon.
Yeah, that is spot on.
Yep.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've got here written, so Nova Scotia juts out east into the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
east being right, if you're looking.
Yeah, but if you're facing, if you're looking north, like smack bang in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, then you actually need to go left.
Yeah, you've missed it.
Yeah, if you're wet, you're going too far.
Yeah. Do a U-turn.
If you're wet, you've gone too far. That's beautiful.
I mean, that I've been able to use that phrase in you know, many different scenarios.
Like?
They were mainly, you know,
boating.
Boating and wharfing, which is when you walk on wharfs.
Yes.
You can walk on wharfs, can't walk on water. Puppy always told him that to me.
Puppy?
Yeah.
Do you have a talking dog?
I got a talking dog. I should have brought that up before now. I felt like it was big news at the time and it slipped me mind.
No, it's because Dave stole the limelight with, oh, I won all this money.
Oh, yeah, Pie Boy.
Yeah.
Pipey over there, Puppy over here.
Popeye.
Poopy here.
Yeah, I've got diarrhea.
Yeah.
Puppy on the sheets. Puppy in the streets.
I was going to say, well, using the toilet, if you're wet, you've gone too far.
Yeah, that's true.
Into the bowl.
Falling in, bro.
Yeah. Call for help.
Does that ever happen to you, little Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Feet touching your chin. Going, oh, no, it's happened again.
This is going to get worse before it gets any better.
Puppy, come and talk me out of this. I know you don't have any opposable thumbs, but could you maybe make a call?
So we're looking at the map. It's on the right. It just says, the Halifax Harbour is built around a little bay called the Bedford Basin, which is connected to the open ocean by a thin passage called the Narrows, which generally is very narrow. It's only about 500 metres or 1,500 feet across.
Ooh.
So to get into the harbour, you have to travel along this thin passage before it opens up at the end. Imagine like a lollipop, if you will.
Got it.
You drive along the stick and then you get to the big lollipop. Sugary bit at the end.
What flavour?
Strawberry.
Yeah, good choice.
Thank you.
Like the strawberries and cream. We're talking Chupa Chups, aren't we?
Yeah, but not strawberries and cream. Hate that one.
Do you?
I hate it too. I'm fruit over creams any day.
Yeah, I like the ones that lollipops that are like glossy.
Oh.
That makes sense.
I don't like the glossy ones.
But
I like the see-through-y ones.
Yeah, sorry, that's what I'm talking about. Oh,
okay,
But not the...
Not the opaque ones.
Yeah, and I hate my... The one that always used to come up as a kid, they'd be like, everyone, if you got a lollipop or whatever, they somehow would always get choc banana.
No good. The dud.
The worst flavour.
Yeah.
Like real ice cream, I'd be happy with choc banana.
Yeah, but the lollipop.
No. Number one, lemon. Number two, strawberry for me.
I'd flip those, but they're still great.
Keep it fruity.
Keep it fruity.
That's right.
So we're in a ship traveling along the lollipop. Because of the tight passage and the many, many ships that needed to travel through it, some rules were set up and ships had to stay in their lane. Heading into the harbour, they stayed on the eastern side of that starboard side of the channel.
What's that?
Right-hand side. And on the way back out, they stuck to the west. Basically, keep in the right lane. Pretty simple stuff. But ships didn't always do this.
Oh, no.
And that brings us to today's story.
What a cowboys on the sea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They got to reel it in.
Yeah. It's bloody Wild West out here in the east.
Yeah. Stick east. On the way back out, you can go west.
It's the Wild East out here. Not the same ring.
No.
It's the alliteration that's good.
Yeah.
It's the Evil East. That's great.
Evil East,
that's good.
Yeah.
The Evil Witch. No, Wicked Witch. That's better.
Better.
Now we're getting it.
Thank you. The SS Emo.
Sorry, Emo?
Spelled IMO, but I have heard it pronounced Emo.
Emo.
Emo. It's got bangs.
Shut up, Mom.
Got a broody hull. I want to swap the poop deck. Swap your own poop deck, Mom. We swabbing poop decks this era?
Swabbing?
I mean, every ship has a poop deck.
Yeah.
You want to clean that thing?
Yeah. I still don't remember what a poop deck is.
Come on.
Or what its purpose is.
Just no dumb questions, please.
That's literally my purpose here, is dumb questions.
You're the everyman.
Yeah.
I thought I was the everyman.
I've got two everymen asking dumb questions. Just let me get the facts out, all right? Poop deck, yes. In summary, I don't know. The SS Emo
three every man.
We need to get an expert in.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that. The SS Emo was a Norwegian ship that had sailed from the Netherlands and had stopped on stopped at Halifax on its way to New York, where it would pick up war supplies to be taken to Belgium. It was a long and narrow ship. Imagine a lollipop, if you will. 430 feet long, 45 feet wide, so not very wide. She had a crew of 39 on board and was captained by Håkon From.
Håkon.
Fantastic name.
H-A-A-K-O-N. Håkon, maybe? From.
Håkon From.
Which I like.
45 feet wide.
And 430 feet long.
That's 45 foot long subs.
Oh, by?
By four.
Roughly 500 foot long subs. Rounding up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot the number. Just to let you know, just to give that.
Yeah, I think it helps people visualize.
Yeah, yeah, helps, yeah. Especially in Australia when we don't use feet for anything except foot long subs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only like, time.
What? How big is it? I still don't know.
Are there anything else we do? Height.
Height and basketball rings. Yeah. I know that's 10 foot. That's.
Is that cool?
10 foot long subs. the Emo arrived in Halifax Harbour on December the 3rd, 1917.
A good year.
And stayed 2 days for inspections and to also pick up some supplies. She was delayed in leaving because the coal used to power her arrived late.
I like that ships are ladies.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, why is that?
I don't know, but it's nice for us to finally have something.
You get something. You know? Yeah.
Back then, now we have everything.
Yeah.
Now, if anything, we have too much power. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But back then...
Don't you yearn for the patriarchy?
Oh, I miss it. I just want to be able to stay inside.
Yeah. You have to go outside.
I got to go earn money.
But no, I'm pretty happy. I love being a stay-at-home man. Just get to stay at home. It's weird that we get paid for that now, but we just stay at home. Get an alley, right? I was like, I'll pop out for a walk. Well, we're docking you.
Yeah.
Also, love that you paused. Almost too embarrassed to call yourself a man.
Yeah, I'm like, that just doesn't home. Feel right.
Man. I guess that's what I am.
Yeah. I still don't like being called a woman. I'm like, ew, what?
You were just singing, you were.
Oh, I didn't write that song.
Okay.
I did.
And Dave feels comfortable calling me a woman. Yes. Anyway, sorry. The ship was delayed.
So it arrived on December the 3rd, but it was ready for departure on December the 5th.
Yes.
Meanwhile, pause that thought. There's a long ship, long thin ship ready to go. Meanwhile,
thin shit ready to go. Ready down to go. That narrow lollipop.
But remember, if you're wet, you've gone too far. That's all I gotta say. Meanwhile, coming into the bay on that very same day was a French cargo ship.
Coming into the bay on the very same day.
A French cargo ship named the Mont Blanc.
Oh,
that
oui,
ruined
oui.
It.
Oh, oui. The ship captain.
You've gone too far.
The ship was captained by Amy Le Medic.
Oh, which or is Imy
for
Imy the Medic.
Oh. Oh my God, that's true.
Yeah.
I'll just put into Google Translate here and that's true.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I speak multi-languages.
Multi-languages?
En français.
The SS Mont Blanc, as I will hereby refer to it as, had come from Brooklyn and was going to join a convoy
White
to Europe.
Mountain.
Pardon?
What? White Mountain.
Is that actually true, that one?
That feels right.
Oh, right.
Don't reckon?
What?
Mont Blanc?
Oh, my God. I thought he meant Brooklyn.
I had no fucking idea what he was talking
about. I thought
you
meant Brooklyn. I was like, you must know that
one.
Brooklyn means a small brook.
But Mont Blanc, White Mountain. Sure.
It was a theme park in France in the 1600s.
A theme park in the 1600s?
Yeah.
Woo, we're going to Mont Blanc. Woo! Woo! Guillotine simulator.
Woo! Woo!
Chop me head off and let it roll down the slide.
Woo!
Woo!
And somebody else has to catch it.
All right, guys, that was the next century. All right, let's just fact check. All right. And anyway, she'd come from Brooklyn, was going to join a convoy to Europe. She was. She's been described as a slow-moving, quote, common tramp steamer.
That's me! Slow moving
and a common
tramp.
And a steamer.
It's another word for a hot shit.
Let's not forget, Jess.
A slow moving hot
wet,
shit.
If your wet has gone too far.
What? Don't shame me. I know who I am. And I am a slow moving hot shit.
Goddamn right you are. This ship was carrying a different kind of cargo.
Oh, can we guess?
What do you reckon?
Cows. No, people. Prisoners.
So this is the French one?
Yep. On the way in, this
prisoners.
One.
Prisoners.
So what do they need
potatoes.
To take to Canada?
Oh, what does Canada need?
What do they need?
Guns.
And where do we want them? Now.
So the guns are going back to Europe. So what are they bringing back? Empty guns?
Empty guns for gunning.
In its ship, or in its hold, rather, the ship carried 2,925 metric tons of explosives.
Explosives. Ah. Explosives, I'm guessing.
2,925, which is equal, exactly equal to one shit ton of explosives.
Metric shit ton, yes.
The explosives included 62 metric tons of gun cotton, 250 tons of TNT, 2,367 tons of the highly flammable, highly poisonous picric acid, and 246 tons of high-octane benzol, which were stored in 2,000 barrels crammed on the deck of the ship.
On the deck.
I now remember this is an explosive episode. And
oh, yeah, I didn't think of that.
You were like, explosions.
I don't know. The cows weren't going to ignite, were they?
Maybe.
Oh, they are methane. Very flammable gases. Yeah. What was my guess? Empty
guns.
Empty ammunition. That's pretty explosive.
Yeah.
Well, also
I
on
said
board.
Prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
So I fucked it.
Also on board was 300 rounds of ammunition for the vessel's defensive guns. All this stuff was very explosive and destined for the French war effort. Basically, it was a giant floating bomb.
Whoa. I wouldn't feel comfortable on that boat.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd say, refund on my ticket, yeah. please. This
no
is
thanks.
Not the cruise I signed up for.
Where's the pool? All I see is a lot of acid.
Where's the
and
pool?
And then you flick your cigarette butt behind you. Yeah. I'm going to take a different boat. Good day.
Oh, is that an explosion?
Yeah.
That's a good sound.
That was the beginning of it. You're dead. You don't hear the big part.
Oh, if a boat explodes but you're already dead, does it bang?
Oh, yeah. You must bang. But almost, you say that people, you wouldn't want to be on the ship, but almost no one knew of the deadly contents of the ship was carrying. Only a couple of local officers and the crew. But apart from that, no one else knew what the ship had on board. Before the war, they would have flown a red flag that let people know that they had explosives on board and that people should stay clear or act cautiously around it. But during wartime, this made them a target for submarine attacks. So ships started to try and go under the radar.
But why are they... Okay, so a submarine can see them, can see the flag. So why are you flying a flag underneath your boat?
Yeah. Think about it, Dave. You said something pretty stupid then. Thanks for calling him out on that, Jess.
Thank you so much.
I like that they're undercover. I would like to think that their undercover thing is just a big ice cream cone painted on the sign and the Mr. Whippy sound. We are just a big old ice cream ship. Down, 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 down. Like side-to-side eye movements of the cabin.
Hold on.
You want a double scoop? We're all out of that flavour.
We've only got acid left.
High octane.
It was also because of enemy German submarines, or U-boats, that the Mont Blanc wasn't able to make it into the harbour as planned. They arrived late on December the 5th, and the port was closed for the night as an anti-submarine net placed at the entrance of the bay was up.
Okay.
It was literally held like it was a chain net to stop the submarines going in at night.
It's such a deep... You were saying it was a deep port.
Yeah, it's super, super deep.
Super deep.
So they could sneak in under nightfall. So they had to wait until the next day on board the ship. So we have the SS Emo inside the bay preparing to leave and the SS Mont Blanc laden with explosives preparing to enter the bay. Both of them have been delayed, so both want to get in or out as soon as they can.
Oh, dear.
They're in a rush.
Never rush.
Oh, dear.
These
never
rush.
These disasters always start with someone being a bit rushy. You know what I mean?
They're either rushy or a little bit grabby.
Yeah. Hmm? Just.
And when you're both.
Oh, my God. No one's enjoying that.
No. You're a nightmare.
Grabbing in a rush. Yeah. Like, buddy, no one's enjoying this.
No.
Come on. Like, think through your grabbing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not a race, mate.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
The next morning, December the 6th, 1917. Both ships resumed their journeys. Each had a local experienced pilot on board. I don't know if you know about this, pilots are local experts who take control of the ships to guide them through treacherous waters?
Yeah, Dave, we know.
Matt, I didn't know that.
All right.
Shh.
Okay. Yeah, Dave. So
in Melbourne, because Port Phillip Bay is actually quite treacherous, especially the opening, the rip. They have the pilot boat comes out, and the way we do it is a little boat will come out, drive alongside a big boat, and then they'll go up the cargo ship, and for that just that little bit, because the pilot's an expert on the area, they'll steer the ship for a bit.
Aww.
Just because they know every little channel, they're an expert on the area. So that's what these guys
what
are doing.
What a nerd.
Who, these? Me or them?
Pilots.
Oh, yeah. They're real nerds.
Let me show you how to steer your boat. You'd be like, I built this boat with my bare hair. They built their own boat.
You got to build your own
boat. Yeah, the pilot boat, of course, helped Noah from Noah's Ark steer his ship to safety.
Like,
I built this boat. I captured all these zebras, two of them to be specific. So,
all of them.
Yeah.
All two of them.
Grammar Nazi, technically, you should have said both, not all. All right. Looking at you, Matt. Come on.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I just feel like these pilots have got a real, tone about them.
But
that's
they still
all.
Wear aviator glasses.
Yeah, all the time.
And they call each other Ace and Mongoose. Because they get a little bit wrong.
Yeah, Dave.
Ace and Mongoose.
Mongoose.
I hope Mongoose pilots my boat.
Aww. That's the sound of a mongoose.
Wow.
I guess.
The Emo was piloted by William Hayes, a.k.a. Ace.
Willie Hayes.
Whilst the Mont Blanc had Francis Mackey at the helm, a.k.a. Mongoose.
Frankie Mac.
Couple of great names.
Couple
of big nerds.
Frankie Mac on the Mont Blanc, an experienced pilot who at that point had a 24-year accident-free record.
Oh, that feels weird that you note that.
At that point. I mean, it's still...
That's a great record.
To this day, could be...
Yeah.
Unbeaten.
Was he up that morning changing the sign over?
Yeah.
24 years.
24 years without an accident.
That's as long as I've been alive. I'm trying to pass for 24.
Oh, yeah. That's smart.
Nice one.
Do you reckon I can?
Yeah.
He just puts up a sign that says 24 years without causing the largest explosion ever. Oh, today's my lucky day. See you, Marianne. I'm off to work.
I reckon I've gone 29 years.
Without causing the largest man-made explosion in history.
Yeah.
Well, you've beaten this record.
And I've had some diarrhea.
Well, the largest woman-made explosion.
Ah, okay.
Hey, you want the record?
You just gave up your 24-year age pretty quickly as well.
Give it, yeah.
In name of a record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In name of the truth.
Okay. You're a journalist, after all, by trade.
Mm.
Mackey, our 24-year veteran, had reportedly been cautious about the explosive cargo on board when he found out what was on, what he was piloting. And he even inquired about getting a special escort to guide the boat.
So this guy sounds like he's switched on.
Mm. He was ignored.
Oh.
Oops. The Emo, which is the one leaving, took off at a speed above the...
I'm leaving. That's the Emo.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Thank you.
Well, it took off at a speed above the harbour limit to try and make up for lost time. So they're speeding.
I mean, you're already 2 days behind. You think speeding out of the harbour is going to save you? You know?
Yeah.
Wait till you're out in the open
sea. Save you a couple of minutes. Mm. On its way out of the bay, the Emo first met the SS Clara, an American steamer that was on the wrong side of the bay.
Classic Clara.
So the two captains agreed to both stay left and pass each other the wrong way.
The worst thing you want to see when you're trying to leave the Halifax Bay is a big old steamer floating there, bobbing in the ocean.
In your lane.
Ugh, yuck.
That's not
nice. Just going for a swim.
Yeah.
So they've gone round each other in the wrong lanes. But before the Emo could get back into its proper lane, its crew spotted a tugboat up ahead called the Stella Maris. That was pulling along two ships.
Tugboats where you masturbate.
How?
Because the poop tech and the tugboat.
Now I don't want to ask this
question.
Steam is
everything in this is
poop related, which is your least favourite.
I know. It just feels like the naval world was semen, everything about the ocean.
The Dunny Dungeon.
You've got to be more mature for this stuff than we are.
Yeah. Can't handle it.
That's not our brand.
That's the first test, if you're ready for the open ocean.
How on earth? Do tugboats work? They're so little.
It's like when you see a man pulling a train.
Yeah, it is like that, which is how trains start.
And you think, he's so little.
Yeah.
How do they work?
How do they work? They just have a sweet engine.
How are they so strong? Sweet engine, you already answered the question. Kind of wanted it to remain a mystery forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing here. I'm not an expert. I don't know what a poop deck is.
So. Yeah, true. But they're just like, they're comparatively so little, and they're like, don't worry, I'll get you out of here. Bop, bop. I'm a little tugboat, tug, tug.
You're picturing a cartoon, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why?
Does your tugboat have a face?
Obviously.
Yeah, they all do.
Do they all have little faces?
I'm asking you because I am.
I'm imagining the little boat that I used to play with in the bath as a child.
Yeah.
Is that not what they look like?
I'm imagining that, only it's animated and it's smiling.
And his name's Tugger.
Like, oh, come on.
And he's like super happy and then they're like, all right, Tugger, you got to go get a boat. And he's like, oh, all right, I'm going to do it.
I think my tugboat's smoking a pipe.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that's allowed.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, it's allowed. It's not okay.
Not good for it.
No. Anyway, just imagining little tugboats.
Well, so what's happened here is the Emo's gone around the SS Clara. It's trying to get back into the right-hand lane, but then the tugboat's in the right-hand lane, even further across. To avoid hitting it into the in the narrow section of the channel, the Emo had to veer even further to its left and even further into what is supposed to be the oncoming lane. So if you imagine if this was a car, they're now fully on the wrong side of the road.
Wait, so the tugboat was also on the wrong side?
Yeah.
Then? Right, okay.
Meaning the Emo had to be like, all right.
I got to go further. Right. Yeah, okay.
It feels like they're being set up, right? It feels like they're trying to line up an explosion here.
Well, here come the explosives. Meanwhile, the Mont Blanc, the ship with all the explosives, had just entered the harbour at this point. It was in the correct lane, staying right, but it was now directly in the path of the oncoming Emo. The two ships spotted each other when they were 3/4 of a mile or about 1.2 kilometres apart. Mackie, our 24-year veteran.
Feels like so much space to avoid each other.
Mackie, who was piloting the incoming Mont Blanc, that was in the correct lane, blasted on his ship's horn, a signal to the Emo that it should get back in its lane. But the Emo fired back with two blasts, a toot-toot, indicating that they had no intention of moving.
Oh, my God, you dumb shit. Why?
So the Mont Blanc slowed down along the edge of the thin channel and again blasted its horn, asking the Emo to yield and to move.
Oh, my God.
The Emo again responded with a double toot-toot.
Why?
Saying, I will not move.
You've got no reason not to.
The Emo saying, go round, go round.
But it's like driving on the wrong side of the road and being like, nah, fuck you. And no, fuck you.
A toot-toot. Is it? A no toot you.
It wasn't like there wasn't any confusion like a... They were from a different place where they'd be on the other side or something?
Were they both being piloted?
No, they're both being piloted by experts in this area.
The pilot, it's his job. So
the pilot's been like, well, I had to go into the wrong lane because of these other two ships. Now you just go around is what sort of what's happening.
No, just get back in the right fucking lane.
I'm guessing he still can't because the tugboat's still there or something?
They just got closer and closer. And as it became apparent that they were going to collide... At one of the last possible moments, the Mont Blanc attempted to steer around the Emo.
That's the one that knows it's explosive.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, the Emo also tried to avoid collision by attempting to blast its engines into reverse. So at the last possible second, they both went, oh, shit, I've got to do something.
So stubborn. So they played chicken with each other and both lost.
And they're about to both lose because this just meant, by putting it into reverse, that just meant that it swung around in front of the Mont Blanc that was trying to go around it. So it basically pushed itself in the path of it. The two ships collided and ran along
each
other.
They're kind of doing that classic awkward thing in the street.
Yeah, they both moved right. Yeah. They both moved right. They collided and ran along each other at 8:45 a.m. They didn't hit hard, but they just scraped alongside each other.
Excuse art.
Which, if you remember, is basically what happened with the iceberg and the Titanic.
True, and that wasn't good, if I remember correctly.
It did not go well.
It was one of my first reports.
But that was a slow leak. Surely a slow leak doesn't lead to an ignition of ammunition.
Well, historian Roger Masters told the Washington Post in an article that I'll link to, quote, in maritime terms, what happened was a fender bender. Yeah. It was only the character of the cargo that made it what it was. So if they'd been two normal ships, they both would have swapped details, probably sworn at each other, and everything would have been fine.
That's so dumb.
But the force of even a minor collision made the benzol in the barrels on the top deck of the Mont Blanc topple over, pouring flammable liquid all over the deck. Then the grinding metal hulls showered the Benzol with sparks, igniting the Mont Blanc's forward deck.
And then everything else possible on that ship is explosive.
Yeah, so they've just they've just lit a fuse, basically.
They were also transporting fireworks.
Get out of my head.
That's true, I'm sorry.
And also, going to say fireworks.
Letters to Santa.
Oh, so sorry, Timmy. Why?
There'll be no little truck this year.
That was so unnecessarily bleak, Dave.
Also, Santa.
The letters weren't flammable, were they?
Yes, and Santa was on board.
Why? Why was he there?
His beard's very flammable.
Kids, always write your letters to Santa on non-flammable
Just
paper.
Just text him.
Yeah.
Email if you want to go old school.
Santa@santa.com
Yeah. .au. He'll get it.
He's based in Australia for legal reasons.
Yeah.
It's cheap.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh, my God.
So flames and smoke started to billow on the deck, and many spectators gathered on the shore to watch the ship burn. Remember that only the crew knew what the cargo was. So the people on the shore had no idea that they were watching what is metaphorically the world's largest stick of dynamite. They're all going, oh, ship's on fire. This is interesting.
Right.
I wonder what's happening here.
Are the crew jumping overboard?
Well, the crew on board, because they know what it is, immediately recognize how dangerous it was, and everyone around them is in such danger. So the captain ordered them to abandon ship. They jumped into lifeboats and rowed like crazy to shore. Probably set a world record.
And they made it?
They made it.
Oh, that's so good.
Once ashore, they tried to shout warnings to locals, but the crew only spoke French. According to the Washington Post, very few people in Halifax spoke French at this time, so their warnings essentially fell on deaf ears.
Listen to the tone.
Yeah, I reckon you can tell from gestures and their panicked looks that I should probably follow them if they're running. But what about the other ship? Have they also abandoned ship? Or are they like, go round?
No, so the Emos attempted to move forward towards the ocean because it can't move backwards into port at this point. So it's started to float away. Floating away, also not knowing that the other ship that they've run into is full of explosives. The Mont Blanc itself continued to burn and floated along, now abandoned, and eventually it crashed into a pier and breached itself, so it was stuck on a pier. And then everyone's watching, oh, look, the pier's on fire as well. This is pretty crazy. Lots of spectators gathering on the shore to watch the fire ravage the ship.
I mean, you forget this is pre-TV.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go watch a fire.
Let's appear on
it's
fire.
It's like in Chernobyl. Did you see the series at all? There's a, when it, the fire first starts, people just sort of gather on a nearby bridge to watch it because it lights up the sky.
I reckon
it's so interesting.
I would watch it. Yeah. Oh, at work, wind blew a flag on top of a French restaurant off the top of the second story and it landed on the car in front of it. We watched for about 20 minutes waiting for the person to come back. It was just a, you know, and then police arrived. No one was injured, but then, you know, firefighters came.
Thought their car was getting a French state funeral.
Yeah, because the flag is just on there. It was,
a lot of damage.
That was the most interesting part. This windscreen was smashed in.
Oh.
By a flag.
By a flag, yeah. Well, I mean, the full pole.
Okay.
Fell. You do not mess with the French. They do not muck around.
Wow.
All right, but back to the fire. The fire burnt for just under 20 minutes. And then at 9:04 and 35 seconds, the inevitable happened. The ship exploded.
Whoa. But again, no fireworks, right?
No fireworks.
So it wasn't even a pretty explosion.
Well, it was a big explosion.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it pretty. Mm.
To be honest, the force of the explosion is hard to imagine and just as hard for me to describe, but I'm going to try. The ship immediately completely disintegrated, and a blast wave radiated away from the explosion at more than 1,500 meters or nearly 5,000 feet per second, pushed by a shock wave that is the equivalent of nearly 3,000 tons of TNT expanding. It smashed through the earth at 23 times the speed of sound.
Whoa!
It just, whatever was close by, it just went...
Poof. Wait, does that include people?
I'm afraid so.
Oh.
The heat...
They just fell over, right?
Yeah. The heat of the explosion was more than 9,000 degrees Fahrenheit or 5,000 degrees Celsius.
What?
It was at that...
How?
As I said at the top of the episode, it was at that time the largest man-made explosion of all time. It would only be beaten by the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Whoa.
The pressure was immense and the explosion pushed a fireball of hot gas and debris into the sky, sucking up shrapnel and debris that then rained down across the city. This blew my mind. A half-ton part of the Mont Blanc's anchor landed 3.2 kilometres away.
Holy shit.
A ton of metal was blasted through.
And stuff like that, some of that debris is like flaming, isn't it? So starting fires elsewhere?
Oh, yes. There was a lot of fires after this. Windows were reportedly shattered over 50 miles away.
What?
It is unbelievable. An area
How many kilometres is that?
Oh, let me answer that.
I know it's pretty far.
Almost.
Dave, do you know the answer?
Wait.
No, let Matt get it.
80. Wait. Wait. How many was 50 kilometers?
50 miles.
50 miles. Okay. Yes. Okay. So that's.
My guess is 85.
Damn it.
It was his guess.
Well, I'm wrong. It's 80.5. So you are closer than I am.
Yes.
Well done.
I was thinking because 1.6-ish kilometres is a mile.
Right.
So 50. Anyway, whatever.
80 kilometres away, windows broke.
And an area of...
Holy shit.
An area of 160 hectares was completely destroyed by the explosion.
Whoa.
Then there came a tsunami.
Oh.
Of course.
The powerful shockwave forced the water to surge. Actually, the water around it was actually vaporized because it was so hot. Which is
Of course, because it was like 5,000...
Yeah, which is crazy. Just seawater just gone because it's so hot. But then the powerful shockwave forced the water to surge approximately 18 meters or 60 feet above the usual high water mark. So as high as it ever gets, it was 18 meters on top of that. And the wave smashed three blocks into the city. More than 1,600 buildings were destroyed by the wave alone, and this further scattered debris.
And this is because the emo
wouldn't get out
wouldn't move back to where it was supposed to be.
Just one guy whose whole job was to get those ships in and out safely.
He went, no, you go around me. No, you know what?
Tooting.
A toot toot to you.
And then this happened.
The damage was frankly unbelievable. Every building within a 2.6 kilometre or 1.6 mile radius, which is over 12,000 in total, were destroyed or badly damaged by either the blast itself, the tsunami, or the fires that started and quickly spread across the city.
And you'd have no idea. You'd have no idea what was happening out there. Just all of a sudden, gone.
Bang. And the casualties, I'm afraid to say, were immense. Possibly the most we've ever had on this show. Approximately 1,600 people died instantly in the explosion. And a further 9,000 were wounded. 300 of those would later die. So nearly 2,000 people lost their lives because of this explosion.
Whoa.
Which is equivalent to 20% of the entire city being injured or killed at that time.
Shit.
So one in five people. It's incredible. It's like just unbelievable.
But it was so avoidable.
It's so frustrating. Do you know what I mean?
Like you went into the details, not to compare to Chernobyl again, but like that was probably avoidable and there was lots of different.
Very avoidable.
Very avoidable. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
They took out the safety rods.
Ah, yeah. Okay, never mind.
But I think nearly always these accidents are very avoidable. That's what we've learned on the show a bit. It's so just like a bunch of things.
It's a chain going, this happened, then this, like both of them.
And just one of these things, like just one of those two had to yield.
Or even as simple as if one had the Mont Blanc had arrived earlier in the day, it wouldn't have been locked out of the harbour, so it would never be in that position. Yeah.
Or if the barrels with the liquid explosives were better fastened, that a bump wouldn't knock them over and spill them.
Yeah.
Or maybe they weren't on the top. Maybe there would be a smarter way of stacking it so that they're at the bottom.
Or if they had that flag that said, I've got explosives, the email might have gone, all right, there's explosives, I'm not going to muck
around. Especially
with this.
When they're in, they arrive at the neutral.
Yeah.
So when you're in the harbour.
So imagine that captain of that's gone, oh, this is just some annoying steamer. I'm not getting out of the way of a steamer, go round.
Yeah.
And then, it had a bomb on board, basically. Unbelievably, the casualties could have been even worse if it wasn't for a quick thinking, an extremely brave railway dispatcher named Vince Coleman. Coleman was stationed just 230 metres from the pier where the burning Mont Blanc came to rest. A sailor, believed to have been sent ashore by a naval officer, warned Coleman and a colleague of the Mont Blanc's cargo of high explosives. So he knew about it.
Yeah.
At first, Coleman and his colleague fled because they're like, oh, shit, we've got to get out of here. But then he remembered that a train full of passengers was due to arrive any minute. So he ran back to his post all alone and began sending out stress messages telling drivers to avoid the area. The Maritime Museum of the Atlantic reports his last message as being, quote, hold up the train. Ammunition ship afire in harbour making for Pier 6 and will explode. Guess this will be my last message. Goodbye, boys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Crazy last words.
Oh, wait, is he also doing that through Morse code, by the way?
Goodbye, boys.
Because that is a long message. Because that's the thing. If you had radios and the ships could talk to each other.
Sorry, Jess.
I know, but it's just like it's crazy. Toot toot. Fuck you.
That's all. Vince Coleman was sadly killed in the blast, but his bravery and quick thinking is credited with saving over 300 lives.
Wow.
His heroism is still remembered today by Heligonians or Heligonians. That's what people from Halifax are called. Cool word, right?
Yeah.
Heligonian.
I'd be a Halifaxian.
That is such a badass thing. So many people, I imagine, you'd be like, oh, I'm about to die. I can't think of anything else. He goes, I can save these people's lives. And then he has basically says cheerio at the end.
Yeah, goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
What a mad dog.
That's amazing.
He was inducted into the Canadian Railway Hall of Fame in 2004.
Oh.
He also released a single, so that was the...
And a Halifax ferry was named after him in 2018. So he's still a local hero.
Oh, that's very nice.
Sick.
Cool. So that was some, tragic but also heroic news.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Quick thinking.
The cleanup for the city was long and hard, with over 6,000 people being left homeless by the blast. Long and hard. I'd only written long here, but I added it in hard.
Sorry.
Just imagine it's like a lollipop. the city's hospitals and morgues were overrun, many bodies being quite difficult to identify. I did read some articles describe some pretty gruesome stuff, which you can probably leave to your imagination. I won't include in here, but yeah, people were very badly injured and bodies were very badly disfigured.
Wow.
News of the explosion quickly spread and doctors and nurses came from across Canada and the United States to help. One of the most common injuries was to the eyes, which were affected by the blast and also the flying glass, because 50 miles of glass going everywhere.
Shit.
Most people are just sitting about doing their own day. If you're anywhere near a window, you got glass everywhere.
Yeah.
Thousands reported these eye injuries, and I read that 39 people never regained their sight, which is awful.
If only one more had.
You hear an explosion from the outside of your house as well. You look to it.
Yeah. You go, what? I know, yeah, you don't cover your face, do you? Yeah.
But to be fair, I think it was moving faster than the speed of sound, so you wouldn't even hear it first. If that makes you feel any better.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
advancements.
I don't know how to please you.
Well, one minor positive was advancements were made in many types of emergency medicines, with the medical facilities forced to adapt to care for thousands of wounded at once.
Yeah, shit.
So they had to improvise a bit, and actually medical science.
They came up with penicillin?
Yes. Marie Curie was there.
She was there. Marie Curie was there. Inventor of penicillin.
I still don't know what she did.
She invented penicillin.
Yeah.
At least in Dugon canon.
Yeah, that's right.
Kayfabe.
Yeah.
In the Dugon kayfabe.
Governments from around the world sent in aid, with Britain, China and New Zealand all chipping in.
Australia, notably,
yeah,
didn't help out.
Wasn't mentioned on the list. It doesn't mean we didn't.
That's from
put
all
money.
Of us.
Yeah, New Zealand did. So we're like, that's
from
us
all
too.
Of us, yeah.
Yeah. We're
basically the same.
We're also like Britain. In today's money, the damage bill came to about $500 million. The cleanup. Because, yeah, half the city's just wiped out.
Yeah, of course.
So what happened to each of the ships involved in the sequence of events? The Emo, the one that you guys are saying should have yielded. Which,
yeah, well.
We can. We will definitely talk about who's to blame in a second. It was carried by the tsunami and smashed into the shore. All but one on that ship died. So,
wow, someone survived it.
Yeah, only one person
survived the shipwreck and that blast.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not. It's tricky talking about who's to blame. Who, you know, who knows and that. But you, on the one hand, the guy going toot toot, get out of my way. But on the other hand, the other ship knew it was a floating powder keg.
Yeah, could they have put up their little red flag just to be like, no, toot, toot.
That's interesting you say that. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first of all, the tugboat, the Stella Maris.
Oh, no, the little tugger.
Well, it came back. So it was actually part of the chain of events because it was in the wrong side and made the the emo
started,
the wrong song.
Sort of kicked it off.
It came back to help fight the fire because it saw the Mont Blanc on fire and it came back to try and put it out. And it was badly damaged when the ship did explode, not surprisingly.
Yeah.
19 of the crew were killed, including Captain Brannan, but 5 managed to survive, even though it was really
from
right
an up
next
close
to
explosion
it.
Yeah.
That threw an anchor 5 km or something. Oh, my God.
And, of course, the Mont Blanc itself, well, despite being the ship that exploded, all but one of the crew survived because they were the
really?
One. They abandoned ship and then
they
ran. So they survived from. So hundreds of people died in the area and some people just on shore, or do they keep running? They're like, it's about to explode. Get out of here.
Well, a part of it was I think that the ship was on fire in one spot. They jumped off and then rowed to the other side of the bay and then it kept floating down and it landed on a pier and the people that were closest by were definitely
The survivors would never have. Like, how do you move on from that?
Well, I think like you... Oh, yeah, no, absolutely not. Sorry, I was thinking, like, it has to depend on what's around you to also explode, like glass, or if buildings are damaged and something falls on you. But, it's amazing that some of the crew lived. That's wild.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it? After the explosion and cleanup, there was, of course, an investigation to find out what the hell happened. At first, there were heavy rumours of the enemy Germany's involvement with whisperings of sabotage written about in the media. But that was
How do you write in a whisper? Really small writing?
Yeah.
Italics, small.
read this in an alleyway. Huh?
And put a little star in front of it, you know?
All it says is, you didn't hear it from me, but... Signed, journalist, David Warnocky. But that was proven. That was never proven in any way to be true. It was just an accident. But the helmsman of the Emo, Norwegian John Johansson, was arrested for behaving suspiciously, and this suspicion intensified when he was found to be carrying a suspicious letter written in the suspicious language of German.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, it turned out that the letter was written in Norwegian and he was Norwegian, so there was nothing sus about it at all.
Right.
Yeah.
He's just gone through this traumatic thing and then he's been accused of being a Nazi on top of that. Cool. Fun day for Johnson.
True. I mean, will not correct you that there were no Nazis in the First World War.
Oh, First World War, yeah, of course.
But
well, that's how...
I don't know anything about Nazis, so I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, forget that. Nazis aren't forever.
There was an official investigation.
Diamonds are.
Yeah.
Oh.
Diamonds are forever.
Are they forever or a girl's best friend? Pick a tagline and stick with
They're
it,
both,
please.
Obviously.
Oh.
They're a girl's best friend forever.
Yeah.
Men come and go. Diamonds are forever.
God, that's good.
It's great marketing.
So good. There was an official investigation with the inquiry very much blaming the crew of the Mont Blanc for what happened.
Why?
It argued a little bit what Matt said as his counter-defense before, that because the crew knew how flammable and explosive the contents was, they should have done whatever was necessary to stop colliding with anything rather than giving a toot and just playing chicken. Should have just cut the engine and been like, okay, let's just let this ship go around. They were charged with manslaughter, but these charges were all later dropped. The main argument against them was, why the hell was the other ship in the wrong lane?
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't they move?
Yeah.
And that kind of worked. The two ships' companies sued each other. The first trial again found that the Mont Blanc was 100% in the wrong, but on appeal it was found that both ships were equally to blame, and therefore, and that was at a higher court, I think it was the top court, therefore no one was ever convicted or held accountable for the fateful day.
Wow.
Far out.
Crazy. For decades afterwards, the Halifax explosion became the standard by which all large blasts were measured and compared.
Whoa!
Dave, the two pilots, did they survive? Because it feels like they're the two. Like,
ask them.
Yeah, if they didn't survive, like who you're fighting over? Whose fault it was? I think the people whose fault it was probably died in the explosion.
Yeah, well, because the Emo only had one survivor, so I don't think it was would have been the pilot, and then the other ship. Most of them survived, so...
Oh, right.
But I don't 100% know who...
Right. Most of the Mont Blanc did, didn't they? Because they knew to abandon it.
Yeah,
run.
They got away.
Right.
Only five Crazy. Of them died.
Oh, that's right. And all but one on the Emo, yeah.
Yeah, so for decades afterwards, people were like, oh, how big is it compared to the Halifax explosion? That was two... It was half a Halifax explosion. Even when describing the first explosion larger than it, the atomic bombing of Hiroshima, Time magazine wrote that the explosive power of the little boy bomb was seven times that of the Halifax explosion. So that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That was the first, and that also broke the record for the largest casualties of a city. I think it was 60% of the city were... Inhabitants were either injured or killed by that bomb.
60%.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Lessons were learned from the Halifax disaster. Internationally, the incident influenced the adoption of stricter maritime laws regarding cargo identification and also harbour traffic control. Because it sounded like the bloody cowboys need to obey the rules.
A toot toot.
There were also some minor positives to come out of the disaster in the long run. NASA actually has a great article on disaster response and recovery that I'll link to in the show notes if you're interested. And as well as the medical advancements I mentioned, they write about how one of the few positives that came out of the explosion was, quote, the influx of skilled labourers, money and attention promoted new developments in Halifax, a city widely regarded as steadfastly conservative before this. So it brought in a lot of new life.
No doubt it put Halifax on the map.
Well,
blew up the map, but...
people were talking. The Halifax community, what did I call them? The halogenins, have not forgotten
That's
the disaster.
That's a light bulb.
Oh, yeah, halogen. I can't remember the word.
Me either.
They've not forgotten the disaster, and I'd be interested to hear if we have any listeners in that area of the world.
Well, one of them suggested it.
Yeah, because I imagine if you or any of your family have ever lived there, with one in five people, surely... your grandparents, your great-grandparents or whatever, would at least know someone.
Yeah, true. It's recent enough that there'd still be connections. I mean, there always will be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so totally. I'm sure there'd be people that would be like, oh, yeah, my great-grandmother was, you know, alive at the time. These days, the city remembers the disaster every December the 6th with a service at the Memorial Bell Tower located in Fort Needham Park there in Halifax. But that is the story. One of the largest explosions in history.
That is.
That's an amazing and awful story.
I know. So I think this is probably the record for the most deaths, do you think?
What about, wasn't there a...
I suppose Chernobyl, That was ongoing.
No, people. I'm thinking of Impaler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Vlad.
Yeah. How many? He had a lot, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fuck, he loved to impale.
Lots of rumors about, yeah, him doing whole towns and things. So, yeah.
Yeah. But still, that's crazy. But, yeah, it just feels, it's so silly hearing about these things after the fact when you're like, that was so easy to avoid. And not even just like, oh, if a few things had gone differently, it's like, no, if you just moved, if one thing had gone,
no, just
one big thing had gone differently. Yeah,
just, even if it was just scratching a boat real bad.
Yeah.
Even that feels like that should be enough of a reason to not want to smash into another boat. Your job is to get them around safely.
Yeah. But good point that, like, you know you're carrying a lot of explosives, so get out of the way. You would be precious about it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, never play chicken.
No.
When you're on a bomb.
They're going, thinking, playing chicken with us? We're explosive.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
We're explosive.
But it's too late.
And they didn't know, so.
Mm.
Wow.
Crazy, crazy times, and thanks to everyone that suggested that.
Well done, Dave.
What a story. Thank you. Thank you
great report.
Well done, everyone. Hey, Dave, you want to mention briefly where we've got some live shows coming up in Sydney and Perth?
That is absolutely right. We have we're going to add some new shows very soon, possibly even announced next week. So stay tuned for that if you're not in Sydney or Perth. But Sydney, not this Saturday, the Saturday after, September the 21st. It's a big Saturday night show at Giant Dwarf. We'd love to see you there. We had the best time last year, so we'll be there. First up, it's a show in two halves. You can come to both halves or just the first or just the second if you like. There's a podcast first of all, then we'll have a little break, hang around. If you want to come say hey, that'd be really nice. And then afterwards we've got a little quiz or some late night shenanigans going on. You know, Saturday night it'd be about, what, 9:30 about that time?
Everyone's about shenanigans.
You've had a couple of beers, yeah. It's time for shenanigans.
Woo! That's going to be me.
Shenanigans.
And if you like comedy... And you like Perth and you like lounging. How about you come to the Comedy Lounge on November the 3rd, Sunday afternoon?
I like all of those things.
Really? Well, you'll be there because we're doing our show, our double show combo there, and tickets are available to both of these shows. Do go on pod.com.
Can't wait. So pumped. Gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Sound pumped.
I am pumped.
Can't wait. So
we genuinely
pumped.
Do love coming to these places and doing these shows. So it's always a lot nicer when there are people in the audience. I got to tell you.
But yeah. We do it to no one. Well, I mean, in a way, we're doing that now.
Yeah.
Is that what you were going to say? I'm so sorry.
Just a lot more expensive for us because
get out of my head.
Usually, we don't have to pay for flights and accommodation stuff to record here. So
yeah, but I got to pay for petrol.
That's true.
Drive my little Colin here, and he's full of explosives. Why I parked so carefully next to your car.
Oh, no. You scraped along the side. My benzol cans fell over in the back. Yeah. Oh, dear.
The studio's gone now.
My boot is full of cigarette butts slowly burning down.
Oh, no.
I didn't think it'd be an issue.
I'll stop smoking in the boot.
Just in the boot.
It's my secret spot.
You know, it's a nanny steak. I can't bloody smoke anywhere anymore. God, just got to smoke in the boot.
Smoke in my boot. My trunk for Americans.
Yeah. We're talking about your trunk.
This brings us to everyone's favorite segment of the show. It's the fact, quote, or question.
Fact, quote, or question.
Bing.
And to offer a fact, or quote, or question, you can become a Patreon supporter of the show at patreon.com/dogoonpod. And there's a lot of different rewards you can get there, like bonus episodes. We're about to record one of those, which is a bit of fun. And also things like voting on topics. And you can also give us, or you also get to into the Facebook group, exclusive Patreon Facebook group. And you can also offer a fact, a quote, or a question if you're on the Sydney Scheinberg Rest in Peace Memorial Deluxe package level of Patreon.
Mm.
And someone who has done that is Zach Dobrin.
Hi, Zach.
And one thing you get to do, as well as offer a fact, a quote, or a question, is give yourself a title. Zach was formerly the vice president of Procrastination, which is a club that we're all members of here, or at least me and Jess, I think. And Dave, what about you? You're a procrastinator?
Oh, I'm very procrastinating.
Yeah. And he's given away the title of Vice President of Procrastination.
Really? Because I thought that if you're doing that job right, you should never get a promotion.
Yeah. But now he is called himself The official day one Matt quote specialist.
Day one.
Day one. I'm so happy that you said that and that we ignored it and that you brought attention to it later on. You may have heard me say day one earlier.
I don't know what that was. Please don't bring it up again.
Oh, man, I genuinely thought that that was a reference to something that I should get and that I didn't want to feel
so
like an idiot.
So we just moved on. We just smiled and moved on.
God, you're clever.
Whatever that was.
Day one.
That was the episode about a race around the world, I'm pretty sure.
Nellie Bly, wasn't
Nellie
it?
Nellie Bly, yeah.
Yeah, day one.
But yeah, people did tweet in and stuff after saying, no, that made sense. I'm like, okay, well, whatever it seemed to make sense, that's what I meant.
Yeah. It's open to interpretation.
Yeah. I'm like a Van Gogh painting. Is he one of those ones you interpret?
Yep.
Really? Oh, you look at a self-portrait and you interpret.
Dave, right. Art is subjective.
Yeah, all those squiggly lines he does in the night sky, I see that as a night sky.
I see it as worms.
Really? Oh, because I see the title Starry Night and I've got no idea what it is.
Yeah, well, that's where the fun begins. Yeah. So anyway, Zach, a.k.a. the official day one Matt quote specialist, asks us a question. I never read these out until we're on air.
Oh, this is dangerous, questions. Which I love.
And his question is, what would happen if people put things like headbands and necklaces feet first instead of over the head? Kind of putting them on like pants, feet first, but just taking a scenic route to get to the head or neck. The worst part about this strange question, I'm completely sober, just very tired. What would happen?
Well,
he kind of goes on to answer it.
Well, no, because what you're going to need is a material that's very flexible but also holds its shape well.
Right.
Otherwise, you're stretching a headband out over your hips,
are you thinking
your shoulders, the widest parts of the human body.
You are trying to wear a hula hoop for a necklace.
But then you got to put it on your head so that it secures your hair
What's
out of your face.
Something that can stretch real big and then stripe back up like almost as tight as a sphincter.
Hmm.
Can't think of anything that has to stretch.
Maybe manganese?
Manganese?
Let's make it out of manganese.
Yeah, I think that's the only option.
What about, okay, hear me out here.
All right. We haven't even started yet.
Put it over your legs.
Yeah, with you so far.
Both legs at a time.
Yeah.
Over the hips. It gets up to your head and
a
then...
A moment on the hips.
Oh, this is going to be a lifetime on your lips because it will get stuck on your lips. No, you get to the head and then you, because it's quite large, you wrap it around like a rubber band. You know how you can...
Well, you can just talk about an infinity scarf at that point.
What the hell is that? I like that.
So they definitely exist and you could definitely put those on feet first.
Oh, my
God.
Okay, is that the answer?
Infinity scarf.
Yeah.
That's what would happen.
I guess what would happen is everything would become infinity scarves or infinity necklace.
Infinity scarves.
Oh, infinity scarves. I think I'm embarrassed for anyone that wears these.
Also known as snoods. Why?
They look awful.
Are they called infinity scarves?
They just look like scarves.
Is it because they loop together like the infinity symbol?
Yeah, it keeps going.
I get it.
Wow.
It just looks like a scarf, Dave.
Oh, I think I'm embarrassed for anyone who wears a scarf.
Dave, what kind of Melbourneite are you like? Do you even
Melbourneite,
drink
are you
coffee?
Like?
Do you even drink coffee? Do you even go down laneways?
Do you like laneways at all?
Do you like culture? Have you even been to the grand final parade?
Have you?
Do you even know who the king of Moomba was this year?
I live for Moomba.
Well, who was the king?
Graham Kennedy.
It was Archie Roach. No, it wasn't. It was Archie...
Thompson.
Archie Thompson, thank you.
I love Moomba.
I love Moomba.
I love to moom.
They have fireworks.
I love the Birdman Rally.
Yes.
Yeah, Birdman Rally!
That is actually genuinely funny.
It's very fun.
To watch the highlights of. I'm afraid I do not... I don't think I like snoods. Am I saying that right?
Yeah,
it's fine.
But for the purpose of this experiment, you're absolutely right. That would work.
But, I mean, you're saying that, but you've seen me wear a scarf many times around the UK.
Do you wear snoods?
100%.
Not like that.
Most of mine are.
No.
Do you ever wear snoods in the nudes?
At home, of course.
Yours don't look like that. You look much nicer.
Are you now on my Facebook trying to look at pictures of me wearing a scarf?
No, I'm re-Googling infinity scarf.
I say you're never fully dressed without a snood.
On your hood.
Oh, hello.
Anyway, let's move on.
Thank you so much,
Zach, you bloody legend.
And let me just say to you, day one.
Day one to you too, sir. Zach, day if we one. Ever meet, just come up to me, nod, and say, a day one. And I'll say, a day one to you.
And first. Everyone else, don't do that, because otherwise it'll ruin it.
Yeah,
it'll
and ruined. Then we'll be like, Zach? And it won't be Zach. And then one day, Zach will be lining up, ready to do it.
Yeah, Zach, and then it'll be like...
And someone in front of him will say it, and we'll be like, yay, this is Zach, this our is friend!
And then Zach will come up and try it, and we'll be like, security, get this imposter out of here.
Yeah, so it's just not worth it. Don't do that.
Have you just found a photo of a maxi snood?
Oh, I've just...
He's seen a snood with buttons, and it's no good.
Tell me that that looks good.
No, it doesn't, but she's cozy as fuck, I'll tell you that.
That's yeah, true. That looks cozy AF.
That made me spit for some reason.
Send us a photo of you in your coziest snood.
But only if you're in the nude. No nudies.
No nudies.
Anyway, let's move on to the next part.
Wrap a snood round your pud.
What are you calling pud?
Yeah. What?
Whatever junk you got. Okay. Your junk is your pud.
Yeah.
I have an idea of what we'd like to do, because the other thing that we do at the end of the show is that we like to thank some of our Patreons who support us on patreon.com/dogoonpod. And
do not use the backslash, please.
Oh, my God, how disgusting. this is a PG show. What do you reckon we are? MA?
Yeah, dogoonpod.com.
Probably, yeah. Well, I don't think we... Yeah, maybe MA?
M? No, what's MA? Violence.
Yeah, high impact violence.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the good
stuff. Yeah, well, there are some. It can be violent. Probably depends on the episode.
Depends on my mood. Yeah. So what I would like to do is we usually like to play a little game, give people something related to today's show, and I would like to name their boat.
Okay.
Can we do that? I think we've done that before, but, I mean, who doesn't want a boat?
Yeah. Yes. Can they all be tugboats?
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
So we get to name them, and we get to name what they tug.
Okay.
All right, well, I'd love to kick it off, if that is okay with
please.
You.
Please.
From Toronto in Canada, Kaiser Grillheim. What a... that what? Is that your real name?
That is so close to Kaiser Wilhelm.
Yeah, it feels punny. Is it a punny name?
Grillheim.
Is that a pun?
Kaiser Grillheim.
Is that a pun?
Grillheim.
I mean, it could be Kaiser's real name, if it is. Fantastic pun work from your parents.
What does Kaiser mean? Is that... that's like... I was going to say chief, but Kaiser chiefs. They're not the chiefs, are they?
I think they are.
Holy moly, I've cracked the
Is that the joke?
Or is it king?
King chiefs. Kaiser probably knows. It's probably yelling it at their device.
It's the emperor, so yeah.
It's right. Emperor
so it is
chiefs.
Like a king. So
the king chief.
So Jess.
Yes.
What kind of boat and name and what's it tugging? What's it tugging today?
Okay, so it's a tugboat.
Yeah.
I want to keep going with the Regal theme.
Okay.
Okay.
Perhaps it's called the Regal Eagle.
Oh, Regal
the SS Regal Eagle?
No, because it's a tugboat. They're not SS, are they?
Well, and once you start adding SS and Eagles together, I'm starting to think Nazis again.
Oh, please. Kaiser Grillheim. We are not implying anything.
So yeah.
They got rid of the Kaisers by the Nazi era, right? Dave, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Regal Eagle okay?
Regal Eagle is amazing. I love it.
Thank you so much.
The Regal Eagle, what does it tug?
Oh, it's tugging a train.
Oh.
Weirdly. A train.
Is the train like alongside the canal?
Aqua train?
Yep.
Oh.
Yes to both of you.
Like it's badass. The tracks are right next to the water and it's just moving along.
Yeah.
Yeah, the train broke down. And the little tugger was like, I got you.
I got you, buddy.
Here, catch this rope. And then away they went. I assume it's just a little rope.
That's cool.
Hey, thank you so much, Kaiser Grillheim.
I bet you he has a burger chain over there. That'd be great. Kaiser Grillheim. And there's like their symbol instead of Kentucky Fried Chicken Man. Instead, they've got like a small-handed German man with a pointy hat. Okay. Thank you, Kaiser. I'd also love to thank, from Essendon, not too far from here, Claire Aldridge.
Claire.
Oh, Claire Aldridge. Hello.
Hello, Claire.
So Essendon, famous for a few things, a direct factory outlet shopping centre, an airport, and the Essendon Bombers Football Club.
Bombers. Explosives.
Yes.
Whoa.
The footy grounds was called Windy Hill. You don't want that. Those kind of conditions.
No. We should call this Ship Matt.
Ship Matt. I like it. This is yours, Dave.
Oh, okay. I think that we should call it the... I'm going to call this SS.
Okay.
Fine.
Steam Ship.
Oh, is that what it's for?
Santa Monica.
Oh, okay. Steamship Santa Monica.
Oh, sounds nice. And they are tugging discount jeans.
Oh, great.
All the way to Essendon.
SSJJs.
Thank God. Giving the people what they need Claire in this time.
Aldridge.
Thanks so much, Claire Aldridge. Over in Essendon.
Delivering the jeans. Delivering the goods.
Everyone needs
moving
denim.
Moving some units.
Can I thank some people
yes,
too?
Yes, please.
I would like to thank from, where is this? Bermondsey in London.
Oh.
David Fisher.
Oh, hello, David.
Oh, Fisher. Great ship name already.
Yeah, true. But are you thinking tugboat still?
Yeah.
What are you naming David's tugboat?
I'm calling... Whereabouts is he from?
London.
London, okay.
Bermondsey.
Because Tugger... Tugger was the nickname of Steve Waugh. So I'm wondering...
Who's a famous Aussie cricketer?
Yeah, so from London, he'll know this, I think. Because actually, do they care about... They don't really care about cricket in England, do they? Not this week after we beat their asses nearly half the time.
Nearly half the time.
Simpsons reference there, but...
That's good stuff. That is good, good stuff.
But we did just retain the Ashes, would you believe it? But they did just beat us in the World Cup, so it's... anyway, so... Maybe the it's a tugboat called the SS Iceman because that was one of his other nicknames.
Oh, that's good. Like that a lot.
Iceman's cool.
And maybe it tugs.
Yep.
Icebergs.
Oh.
Out of harm's way.
Oh, that's so nice. No icebergs were harmed in the making of this ocean.
Yes, they're not. That's not to protect the ships.
to protect the icebergs. Yeah. That's nice. Nobody ever thinks about the iceberg.
And much like, what was our man's name again?
David Fisher.
David Fisher. And much like an iceberg, David Fisher, there's a lot more to him than what's up, what you can see up top.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, you're looking at 10% of the real man.
Yeah. He's got depth.
Yeah.
That's why they call him the Onion. He's got layers.
Oh, God. He's got so many nicknames.
The Iceman, the Onion,
it's
the
confusing.
Fisher.
Confusing. The Ogre.
Fisher amongst men. You know, I remember a Fisher amongst men.
Really? Really? Greg Hunt?
No. Yep, Greg Hunt.
Greg Hunt, the environment minister.
The health minister.
The ex-environment minister.
Oh, who am I thinking of?
Rex.
Rex Hunt.
Yeah. Rex. Kissed him and put him back.
Dear. I imagine our health minister is also kissing him and putting him back.
Oh.
Good on you, Greg Hunt. He was the one that liked a porn tweet accidentally in the middle of the night, then blamed it on a bot.
And Australian comedian... Greg Larson has not let him forget it.
I love
tweets him regularly.
Greg Larson, he's always asking about it.
Remember that time you?
Yeah. And Greg's tweet. I don't know if this is true, but there was apparently an investigation that found that there was no.
Yeah, really wasted.
Yeah, no shit.
Allegedly.
Anyway, I thank you very much to David Fisher. I would also like to thank from Cornwall.
Oh, Cornwall. Oh. They do pasties right and scones roam.
I'd love to thank Mr. Josh Merch.
Josh Merch.
Josh Merch.
Merch.
Oh, Merch.
M-U-R-C-H. Merch.
Oh, Merch.
Love that. From Merch. Oh, he's Cornish. Doing scones your way. Right?
No, I'm a Devon.
Oh, doing scones our way. Good on you, Josh. I knew I could trust you.
Someone asked a really good question about this recently when I saw it, because it gets posed a lot, and my side's always on the losing end of these battles. I might have even been on the Patreon Facebook page. But then someone asked the question, what kind of cream? And this is key. When I say cream on first, I'm talking super thick cream. The only kind of cream I'd put on a scone.
Who's on first?
Clotted.
Cream. clotted cream.
Clotted cream.
Not like a whipped cream in a can.
No, not some of the soppy shit you get in the down aisle number 9.
No, you got to whip that shit yourself.
I'm talking, yeah.
Get out a whisk.
Yeah, please.
Earn it. Earn that cream.
Earn it. You got to earn it.
Naomi Higgins and I made scones together recently. Wow. We whipped some cream.
How thick was it?
Oh, it was pretty damn thick.
Nice one.
T-H-I-C-C.
I whipped it like 95% of the way. And you know how your arm goes really, really tired when you're whisking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know that.
Yep, know that feeling.
Hashtag relatable.
Everyone knows that feeling. Yes.
You're like, I can't whisk no more.
Yeah, and so Naomi was like, well, I'll have a go because that's what you do. You share it. And then she does 5% of the work. Cream's done. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Just helping me out there at the end.
But then I got to eat scones.
Claiming all the credit.
Anyway, Josh Mitch.
We like you.
Okay. Well, I feel like he's got to be on that beautiful little tugboat. SS the only one? The HMS.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
The HMS Cream
Dream.
Thank you. Yeah.
The cream dream.
That sounds gross.
No, that makes me feel hungry.
Oh, you, no.
If I could put... Oh, Dave.
Sorry, Matt. If you could... What do you want to do?
I was just thinking, like, if I had to pick one ingredient to put on a scone, jam can fuck off. I'd be happy with just cream.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, what's
that's my cream dream.
What's Josh towing in the cream dream?
He's towing people's hopes.
Wow. It's a metaphorical towing.
No, literally. He's literally towing. So he's the dream bringer. So you order a hope. You go, you know what I'm hoping for today? A sheep with a hat. And he'll tow that to you. He'll tow you a sheep with a hat. It's got to be a physical thing.
Dave, can you just...
He sounds like Santa on the water.
He's Santa of the seas.
Can you just take over and thank some people,
All right, thanks
please.
So much. I'd like to thank someone.
He's so loopy, they call him the fruit of the sea.
I would like to thank fruit of the seas. I would like to thank...
That is not an okay thing anymore. Sorry about that. My soy boy levels kicked in there. Let's not call. Anyway.
Shut up.
I got to make a quick call.
I would like to thank from Lang Warren here in Victoria, Alana Chitzio.
Oh, great name. I'm so stoked we got a Langy listener.
Oh,
I got a bunch of my old schoolmates live in Langy.
Really? All right, well, you should name the ship.
Beautiful neck of the woods.
Tell me a bit more about Lang Warren.
Well, Lang Warren, you're starting to push towards the rural, regional edge of the city of Melbourne, the greater city of Melbourne. And what they like to do is they're the kind of guys that love going out four-wheel driving. They'll go out four-wheel driving on a weekend. What they love to do is go down tracks, get bogged, winch them each other out.
Like a tugboat.
Drive another 20 metres, get bogged again.
They're the tugboats
again.
Of the land.
They are. I never thought about that. They're the tugboats of the land.
It sounds like such a horrible way to spend a weekend.
But they love it. And then they end up, they'll end the day with a campfire and a few beers and they can't wait to do it again. I watch the videos they post on Facebook and I'm like... I love the nature around it. I like the end of the day.
They watch what you do and go, what? Really?
Yeah, no, they would. I guess so, yeah.
The videos, what a nightmare.
You post of you sitting indoors. Oh, look at this roof.
Mm. All these sealed roads he seems to drive on.
Look at him. He hasn't moved for hours. He's doing something called a Netflix binge or something. He's watching The Good Wife again.
So maybe she's on the SS Land Cruiser.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. And she's tugging her mate's tugboat.
Yeah.
Getting her out of trouble.
That's right.
Alana Chitzio. I hope that's how you do it out there in Langy.
Good love on you, it. Alana.
Thanks so much. Appreciate
your
support.
Beautiful part of... I love those areas of Melbourne where there's a bit more space around and you can drive not very far and you're in the bush. So good. I'm kind of, yeah, I'm occasionally jealous of that, but then it's also a long way into the city from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wrong traffic, it'll take you an hour.
And there's no Uber Eats options. It's like, oh, fuck that.
You turn on Uber Eats and it says, we are yet to be in this
area. I don't know where. They're in Melbourne. They're just in the outer suburbs.
I wasn't talking about Lang Warren.
Oh, you're talking about the bush.
Wow.
Dave.
Finally, I'd like to thank, I'm not sure if this is a bush
half the episode this week was the report. The other half's been the sealed section of the back here.
Well, I'd like to thank from Overtown, they'd probably say, in North Lanarkshire, Great Britain, Ross Garrard.
Ross Garrard.
That's a great name. Hard G, you reckon?
Mm.
It's not a Gerard.
Ross Gerard. I reckon Garrard.
No, it's a hard G.
Ross Garrard. Who is driving, piloting the HMAS.
Seagull.
Oh, that's nice.
Tugging a big load of potatoes.
No, it's tugging seagulls.
Oh, it's tugging seagulls.
There's a boat of seagulls and they're here to take over.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The pilot's at Seagull as well?
Yes.
Well, why is Ross helping? Has he been?
He's a seagull.
He's a seagull.
Our favourite seagull listener, Ross Garrard.
You threw an A in there. Explain to me what's going on there. HMAS as opposed to the HMS. Or is there no HMS? Is that a CD?
I think it's
HMAS. HMAS is the Australian
HSV.
One.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's
HMV,
like,
yes.
Is it HMV? Fuck.
Yeah. I think it stands for Australia, the A, right?
Oh, right. HMAS. Yeah, because that
HMAS.
Rings.
Say it like
Majesty's
that.
Majesty's ship.
Australian ship.
Right.
Matt, rather than say
HMAS. It like that.
HMAS. Yeah.
I got the value proof.
Thank you so much, Ross Garrard. And thank you to Kaiser, Claire, David, Josh, Alana, Ross for supporting us and being the boss.
I tell you what, I'm tugging all the way to U6.
Jesus Christ.
Love from the bottom of my
stop
heart.
Stop it.
Oh, do not tug your love.
No,
wait,
stop
what?
That. Matt.
I'm tugging a boatload of love to him.
Oh, a boatload?
Oh,
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
We were just talking about tugging boats.
Stop it.
Put it away, mate.
What is wrong with you?
Whoa, my feelings.
Oh, that's not what that.
I didn't know it was such a toxic environment in here. Can't a man wear his heart on his sleeve?
Oh, the sealed section indeed. Oh, gosh. But if you want to be one of these people that we tug, go to dogoonpod.com or patreon.com/dogoonpod and we will greatly receive your support.
Thank you so much, everyone. You keep us going, you bloody legends, the Patreons.
Oh, my God, the Patreons are our tugboat.
Yeah, they are tugging this pod along.
Oh, yeah.
That is so true. Wait, no, Dave. In a wholesome way.
Dave's in a really pervy mood.
Oh, that's not true.
It is true, you little perv. That's
not, yeah. It's no pervier than usual, can we just say?
I reckon it's the beard.
Yeah, it's made you even pervier.
The boob made me... Boob. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Get out. Just wrap it up. Wrap it up. Let's go.
The beard made me a sex person. I said the boob.
Let's get out of here.
Help, everyone. Help. If you want to support the show by just following us on a bunch of social medias, you can do that at DoGoOnPod on nearly everything out there. And we've got a YouTube channel as well. There's videos. You can see our mouths move.
Yes. There's a few good live ones have gone up recently.
A few good ones.
That's right.
The one where we recorded in the Brisbane Airbnb.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be up now.
So check that out. And, follow us, all that kind of stuff. We got an email, dogoonpod@gmail.com, if you want to drop us a line. Subject, hey, guys.
Beautiful.
Appreciate that. And until next week, we'll be back with another hopefully fantastic episode. But
no
until
pressure.
Then, I'll say thank you for listening and goodbye.
Later.
Bye, boob.
I can't believe I said it.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.